Begin the card Daf Masechtas Bachim Daf Nun Dal. Begin on the third line down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf, and that is one of the interpretations for the source of the Halacha of our Mishnah in the previous Daf, that the carbon Eila Itzrikas are Shtaim Shein Arba, two that's four. We learn it from a Gzeres Shava from Halacha by a carbon Chatas. So that the Gemara asked, if you're learning out that it has to be four, albeit it's going to be two that's four, which is you do it on two opposite corners diagonally across from each other. So then, why didn't you say it's going to be on each one of those four corners? And that the Gemara said, no, it's not possible, because as we learned in the previous Daf, the Karban Eila Zrikas has to be on an area of the Mizbech that has a Yesod. And if you had to do it in every corner, you'd be doing also on the southeastern corner, which has no Yesod. And therefore, it's not possible to do it in every corner. And that the Gemara asked, how do we know that? So the Gemara brought the source that we find that there was no Yisayid on that part. On that halacha, the Gemara asked Meisvev in the following brisa. The brisa says, Oilas ha'ayv, keitzad ha'isanasas. The bird carbon oila, when there were certain carbonas that instead of being an animal it was a bird and there was a carbon oila, how was it done? So says the brisa, ha'yamaylik esresha mimul arfa. So the kain, he would take and he would sever the head of the bird by the area of the back of its neck, umavdil, and it would totally sever it, meaning what that means to say is by both of the pipes, the food pipe and the wind pipe that there is over there, in contrast to the karmachatas, which only has to be one of the two simanim, not both pipes, as the Gemara says later on, perikad jekashmim dav samachim et alf, umamata dama al kera mizbech, and then he would squeeze the area of where the malika was done, where it was cut by the neck, and he would squeeze the neck part over there that was open by the wall, and it would squeeze out the blood onto the wall. Now, later on, the Gemara tells us that this was done on the southeastern corner, because the Kohen would go up, and he would come to the Saiviv, and that's where he squeezed out the blood of the bird. On that, as the Gemara, V'yamrit lohayla yisayid, but if you're saying that there was no Yisayid over there in the southeastern corner, there was no foundation on the bottom of Mizbeach, so it comes out that when he's doing Malika, when he's actually severing the neck, before he squeezes it out on the wall of the Mizbeach, Ba'avir ba'amahu d'ka'avir, he's doing it in the air, and therefore, before he gets to squeeze it out, as he severs it, the blood comes dripping out, and it's going to fall on the ground, where no blood is allowed to fall. All of the blood has to go onto the Mizbeach itself. Now, Rashi points out, wait, why is it falling on the floor? Isn't it falling on the Saiviv? Because he's actually standing on this ramp, which is in the middle of the Mizbeach, and it should fall on that, not on the ground below. So on that says Rashi, you know, because the Gemara there tells us that if the Kohen wants to, he could even do the Malika beneath his feet, even at least an Amma beneath it, it's still going to be valid, because the only thing that's particular by the Eila Sa'if is just that it should be above the red string, which is even below the Saiviv. Now, if he's doing it below his feet, so he's below the Saiviv, now if he's doing it there, it's going to drip down to the ground. And if you're saying there's no Yisayid over there, how is that possible? The Eila Sa'if, all the blood has to go onto the Mizbeach. So Nadam Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, Eimar, no, you should say that Kachistu, this is what they stipulated. Avira de Binyamin, the airspace where the Yisayid would be, but there is no Yisayid, like we said from the previous stuff, because that's in the portion of Yehuda, but the airspace was that of Binyamin, Karka de Yehuda, the ground was that of Yehuda, and therefore, says Rashi, what you could say is that above three tefachim from the ground, which is not considered halachically the ground anymore, there was some type of a protrusion that was small, that was sticking out opposite the keren, the corner, to receive the blood of the Eila Sa'if, that it should not fall to the ground. And that's called the wall of the Mizbeach. But that's not called the Yisayid, the foundation, to validate the keren, as we had asked in the previous daf. Oh, so then if you have something there, so then you should be able to do on all four sides because there's Yisayid. No, because Rashi says Yisayid is what's Yisayid is a foundation, which is on the ground. It wasn't on the ground, so it wasn't halachically valid to do the Zrikis there, but it still was not falling on the ground because there was still some type of protrusion, since it was in the airspace of Binyamin that was able to catch that blood. Now, the Gemara clarifies and says, "My loy hava lo yisayid." This that we said in the previous daf, that we said that on the southern and the eastern side, which culminated on the southeastern corner, that there was no foundation. What does that mean? So it's actually machlekes. Rav Amar Bebinyan, he says, as we had simply been translating up until now, that by the southwestern corner, for example. So there, the yisayid came an amma into the southern side, but then the whole southern side and the whole eastern side up until the northeastern corner, where again there was another amma of the Yisayid. So as we had the picture on the Gemara in the previous daf, which is that on the whole north and western side there was the Yisoid, and also going an Amma in onto the southern side, and also an Amma into the eastern side. But the rest of it didn't have. There was actually no structure of Yisoid on those other sides. But Levi Amma B'damim, he says no. There was a Yisoid on the whole eastern side and the southern side. It just wasn't valid for the blood to be sprayed over there as halachically you need by a Yisoid, because that wasn't the portion of Yehuda. As the Gemara explains, Rav Metargim, he translates the pasuk that we brought in the previous daf by the Berachas Yaakov, which refers to that the structure of the Shechinah was going to be in the Chelik of Binyamin. He translates the words, Be'achasante Yisavni Midbacha, that in this portion will be built the Mizbeach, which sounds like the actual structure of the Mizbeach. But Levi Metargim, he translates this pasuk not as the actual structure of the Mizbeach, but rather, and this was going on that pasuk that we brought previously, which is on that by Birchas Yaakov, he translates, Bachsanti Yisavni Mikdash, and this portion will be built in the holy thing. What that means to say is, Mokem Mokudish Ladamim, because the boundary of Yehuda ended right before the Mizbeach. But what does it mean that's going to be built in this portion? It's going to be built the holy place for the blood. Meaning the Mizbeach was the Yisoid in the portion of Yehuda, but what's the sanctified part of the Yisoid that could receive the blood, that was only in the Chelik of Binyamin. That was in the Chelik of Binyamin. So now it says the Gemara Tashma, this being a Raya, not like Levi from Mishnah Masechtas Midas. The Mishnah says, HaYisoid HaYimahalach Al Panei Kol Atzav, in the foundation of the Mizbeach that stuck out in Amma and was Amma high, went along the entire northern side of the Mizbeach, Al Panei Kol Amayr along the entire western side. Eichel, it took up that space. Bedarim Amma Achas, in the southern side, just one Amma. Ubemizach Amma Achas, and in the east, only one Amma. As we said, because by the northeastern corner, it went into just an Amma, like we had the picture in the previous daf, and not more. So that's difficult according to Levi, because it sounds like that this was in the actual structure. According to Levi, no, there was a recite on all four sides. So it's the Gemara, no, my Eichel Nami, what does it mean that it took up that space? It means bedamim. It means the halachic Yisoid regarding the receiving the blood. But in structure, yeah, it was there on all four sides. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a Raya from that same Mishnah, not like Rav. The Mishnah says, the Mizbeach was 32 Amis squared. Now that's difficult according to Rav, because that sounds like it was a square. According to Rav, it wasn't a full square, because it was missing Yisoid on the side of Mizbeach and Dar. So the Gemara, what are we talking about over there in the Mishnah, is min hadsad, means from the side. Meaning it's not on all four sides that it was 32 by 32. Rather, if you're looking at it from the northern side, it was 32. But from the east and from the south, then it was only 31 by 31, because as we said, on the southeastern corner, it was missing the Amma from on the Darim and the Mizrach. It was only had on the corners that it had it. So therefore, when we say it was 32 by 32, is if you're looking from the northwestern corner, then you saw it as 32 by 32. Mar continues, it says, Tashma, let's bring another Raya, not like Rav. Now this discussion relates to a Gemara later on, Perikach Kachim, Nav Samach Beisim Abeis, that the Gemara there poses a contradiction to Mishnais. The one hand is a Mishnah that says that the ramp, which was on the southern side of the Mizbeach, was a length of 32 Amas. And the Mizbeach itself was a length of 32 Amas. Now, so it comes out that the length of both of them is 32 plus 32 is 64 Amas. The problem is, when the Mishnah counts them together, it says, HaKevesh v'Mizbeach Samach Beis. The length of the ramp with the Mizbeach was 62. Problem is, as we said before, what do you mean? Taking up space in the ground of the Azara is 64. And then when it's talking about taking up space in the ground, which talking about how everything fit, it called it only 62. How's that possible? So that the Gemara answered, as our Gemara quotes, that, Nimtze comes out that the top of the ramp was Pereach, was floating, so to speak, was elevated, was hovering on the top of the two Amas of where there's protrusions coming out. There's the top of the Mizbeach, but then, as we're going to shortly quote, there's the Yisoid that sticks out the most, then there's the Saiviv, which sticks out more, and then the ramp takes you to the top part. But it was hovering Amma al Yisoid v'Amma al Saiviv. The ramp consumed, went on top of the Amma of the Yisoid and the Amma of the Saiviv. So it comes out the two uppermost Amas of the ramp was on top of two of the Amas of the 32 of the Mizbeach. Now, but one thing we see is that from the fact that it said that it was hovering an amma on the yesod, obviously that there was a protrusion of a yesod on the southern part, which is where the ramp was. Now, that's difficult according to Rav, who he said that no, there was only on the eastern side one amma and on the darm side one amma and nothing more. And he says, he explains that that's regarding the structure itself. And if the ramp's on the southern side, so it comes out that we're saying that there was a yesod, and according to Rav, there was no yesod. And that says the Gemara, no, ema keneged ama yisoid va'alama saiviv. Meaning, you're right, it's just saying opposite the area where the yisoid would have been, but not that it actually was, it means in that area where the yisoid was. But yeah, two amas of the mizbeach, of that area which we call the 32 amas, which was not square, because yes, it was only 31 by 31 on those sides, that went into the 32, the top two amas of the 32 of the ramp, on the southern side, but really, you're right, it was only one amma that was being covered, which was the amma of the Saiviv, but there was no Yisayid on the southern side. So the Gemara continues, says, Tashma, let's bring another raya, not like Rav, the Tani Levi, Levi Torah to Brisa, says, Ketzad Boina Esa Mizbech, it says, how do we build the Mizbech? So the Brisa explains how they made the structure. Mevi and Malbin, so they bring a form, which is a square-shaped form, which was made from four beams, each one had a length of 32 ammas, which was shleishim mishtayim, ashleishim mishtayim. So you get a form of 32 by 32 amas. Now the width of each beam is an amma, thus making the height of this form, since the length of the beam was on the bottom. So thus, if you're laying it up, makes it a height of an amma. So you have a goyvay amma, you have a height of an amma of this form, and then they filled it up with stone and lime and tar and glaze, up until that it filled up the entire height of this form. So as the Brice explains, so umevi chaluki avon and mufulame, so they brought these smooth, moist stones, bengadeles, bengatanas, whether big stones, small stones, umevi sid, they brought lime, vikunya, which is this glazed lead, the zephes and tar, umamacha, and then they melted all together, v'sheifich, and then they pour it into the form, which is on these stones, so that to make it all connect together. V'zehu makam yisayid, or take out the gears of makam, because it's not just the place of the yisayid. This is the actual foundation. This is the first block of the mizbeach, which we learned that it has an elevation of an amma. Then v'chazer maybe malbin. Then they went and they brought another form and put it on top of this pre-existing amma squared, this 32 by 32 by a height of amma squared. The structure, and this form was shleishim amma shleishim amma. This was a little bit smaller. This was 30 by 30 amas, v'goyvei chamesh amas, and it was a height, which means say the width of these beams, thus making it a height of 5 amas. And here also maybe chaluki avanim chulu, and then they brought these small, these smooth, moist stones, etc. So it comes out that this was indented by an amma. And this is what the height of this was called the Saiviv. And it was on this indentation, because the next part is going to be narrower than this too. So the height of this, the Kohen would go around, as we said, that was the Saiviv by certain Karbanas. He would have to go around there by the Karbachatas. Because the third form that was put on this was narrowed by two Amas by two Amas. So it comes out that it made for an Amma on each side. Chayzer maybe Malbin, like we said, then he would bring a third form, Shul Chavches al Chavches Amos, which is only 28 by 28 Amos squared, V'gava Gimal Amos, and this was a height of 3 Amos, or maybe Chaluki V'chulu, and again, brought these smooth stones and filled it up. And the top of this, V'hu Mokam HaMaracha, and this is the top of the Mizbeach, which is the place of where the fires of the Mizbeach were. But then there's an additional V'chayzer maybe Malbin, and then we bring then again another form, Amal Amo, which is an Amma squared, which you would put these forms on the four corners of the Mizbeach. Umevi Chaluki Avanim Mefulamis, and they would bring again these smooth, moist stones, Bengadeles, Bengatanis, whether large and small. Umevi Zephes, Vakunya, Umemacha, Beshefech, and then he brought this tar and this glazed, and they would melt it and pour it. Vezeo Keren, and this is what's known as the Keren. And Mechin Lachol Keren Mekeren. So he did this for one, and they did it for all the four corners. Now, one thing is that we see from here is that the bottom structure, the first form, was 32 by 32. So obviously you see that the yesod stuck out on all four sides, not like Rav, who said that there was no yesod in structure on the eastern and the southern side. Now continues the Gemara and Mechitim, and if we're going to say to resolve for Rav as we continue to Tamid Beis, the guy is lay. Yeah, at first they made that's 32 by 32, but after it dried up, then they actually cut off from the structure which was in the portion of Yehuda. That's a problematic because it says the pasuk in the Varma Avon the Shleimus Ksib says that the bricks, the structure of the Mizbeach has to be whole stones, smooth, without any indentations. Now it's impossible to cut off, that'll be perfectly smooth. Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. Why? Because the Machis Midi Metusa, you're right, there was no Yesod over there. Now what they do? If you tell me that the form was 32 by 32, but then how do you get rid of that? Is that it never happened in the first place, because they would make, by the way the portion of Yehuda was, they would put a long piece of wood where its thickness was like the thickness of the form, and it was smooth, and they put it over there in the place of the form, where therefore none of the rocks and all the lime and everything was put there, but they wouldn't get stuck over there in that portion. And therefore, when the structure dried up, then they took away this thing, and then it remained empty because there was something that was a holder that took up that space. So therefore, never made the yisayit over there in the portion of Yehuda. And the Gemara proves this. Because if you don't say this, that the way they made it, although the form was 32 by 32, but they made by putting in that holder to take up the space, then nothing should be made over there. Then Hodam Rav Kahana says, then take this halacha Rav Kahana. That he says, Avanim shel krana is chalulasayu. The bricks of the corners, the keren of the mizbech, had holes in them. Very deep holes in the four corners, so that the blood of the chatas that was put over there should be absorbed and not just fall down, because you're putting it over there, so where is it going to go? We wanted it to go in. The chesed, like it says, the pasuk in Zechariah, it says, a molika mizrik, that they fill it up like a bowl. Kizavius mizbech, like the corners of the mizbech. So obviously we see that they had a receptacle, had holes in it, like a bowl. Now, Hachanami, Avanim Shleimus and Rachmana. How did they make holes in the Karen? It's part of the structure of the Mizbech, which has to be complete stones. Ella, rather, obviously, the Machas Midi Mituse Vishokale. Obviously, because when they made the Karen, they must have put in sticks and twigs that were thin, that they put in between the parts of the rocks that were being put in to make like a holder, so that when it dried up, they just took it out and it remained that there were holes throughout the Karen. And they didn't have to go and make and poke holes in it so that it could have holes so you could put in the blood. So that's the same thing for how to understand Rav, that they put in holders over there when they were making the Yesod. And then once they finished, then they took it out, and then you didn't have a Yesod on the part of Yehuda. Continuing related discussion regarding the placing of the Mizbeach and the portions of Binyamin and Yehuda regarding to the Beis HaMikdash. So Darish Rava. Rava expounded, Ma'idasa, what does it mean the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says, Ve'yelech, and the Gemara says, who, but it's referring to David, Ve'yelech hu v'shmuel, that David and Shmuel went, Ve'yeshua, and they settled, Benoyas b'Rama, and they were dwelling in Noyas in Rama. Now, V'chima'in in Noyas eitzel Rama, what does Noyas have to be with Rama? Those are two different places. Ela shahayu yeshvin b'Rama, rather no, they were in Rama, which was the city of Shmuel. They were involved in the beauty of the world, meaning to find the place of the Beis HaMikdash from the Torah. Where are we supposed to build this Beis HaMikdash, which David so much wanted to build? So Ami, they said, Ksib, it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, V'kamta v'alisa l'makam, when it refers to that you should go from Kol Sharecha, all your gates, it says you should go up to the place which is going to be the chosen place, the Beis HaMikdash. And you'll go up to the place. So Malama, that teaches, Sheh Beis HaMikdash gevoyim mekol Eretz Yisrael. Now they know where they have to look. The Beis HaMikdash, the temple, is the highest place from all of Eretz Yisrael. Now, moreover, Eretz Yisrael, Gevoyim Mekol Eretz, so too Eretz Yisrael is the highest from all the other lands. Now, that's actually not the main point that the Gemara is here, and that's not what they were trying to figure out. It's actually learned out from a different pasuk, a pasuk in Yirmiyah, that says, Lo Yirma Oit Chai, they're not going to say anymore when Mashiach comes and Hashem is going to redeem the Jewish people, that Hashem is the one that took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, but rather Hashem who took them out from all the lands, from all the directions, and took them up to Eretz Yisrael. So obviously Eretz Yisrael is the highest from them all. But the important thing that they had from this pasuk was that the Beis HaMikdash is higher from the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But lo have a yadi duch dehecha. But they didn't know which part is the highest place in Eretz Yisrael, in whose boundaries, which tribe is it. So Isu Sefer Yeshua. So they brought a Sefer Yeshua, because that's what Jewish people do when they have a question. In reality, they don't go and try to measure geography or topography. They go to the Torah, because the source for all halacha, even in reality, is in the Torah. And that's where they went to check in Sefer Yeshua, to check in, because that's where it talks about, delineates the different boundaries of the tribes. Now, the truth is, in Sefer Yeshua, it does not delineate from any one of the tribes the boundaries of all four sides of them, besides Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, where there it defines their boundaries from all the four sides. Now, the boundaries of Yehuda is on the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. So you have the land of Edom is on their southern side, which is behind them. Then you have the length of the boundary of Yehuda going from, because they took up the whole south, so that includes on their right and left side, they had on the eastern side all the way to the western side along the entire length of the boundary of the south of Eretz Yisrael. So you had the Yam HaMelech on the east, and you had the Yam HaGadol, you had the Great Sea on the Mediterranean on the west. Now, these are from the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael that's brought in Parshas Maaseh, and it specifies this in Sefer Yeshua. Now, the northern boundary of the portion of Yehuda, that wasn't exactly according to its length, because rather it changed directions according to where it was coming from the east, from the Jordan, going up to the west. Now, in its midpoint of the northern part of Yehuda's boundaries, it went up on an angle towards the north, went up from Devir, and it widened itself towards the north to what's called Kesef Yevusi, which is Yerushalayim. And if you're coming from the east, it was going up towards Yerushalayim. So explains the Gemara, Bekulu Ksiv, by all the boundaries of Yehuda towards the northern part of the northern boundary of Yehuda, it says Veyered Ve'Ola HaGvul. It talks about that the boundary went down, it went up, Ve'Tar HaGvul, and the boundary turned. That's on the other parts of the northern boundary of Yehuda. But B'Shevet Binyamin, regarding the eastern part of the portion of Yehuda, on his northern part, that he shared boundaries with tribe of Binyamin, Va'olaksiv, it says that the boundary went up, but V'yared Leksiv, it never mentions that it went down. And that's important, because here there's something unique that it's telling us both of these portions of only Shevet Binyamin, Yehuda, all four sides, and they meet each other on one part of the north. And moreover, on that part, it doesn't say anywhere about going down. Other parts of the northern part of Yehuda, where it borders on other boundaries, it says about going down. And we said that Bekam Tevalisa, the part of the Beis HaMikdash, has to be the highest. And here it only talks about going up and going up and going up. Now, in actuality, as we're going to see shortly, there was one more elevated point from Yerushalayim until the top of the mountain on the surface of Gei Ben Hinnom. And that's going to be important, because there is something that is a little bit more elevated than the Beis HaMikdash. But from there until the Mediterranean, which is on the western side of the portion of Yehuda, which he shares with other tribes after the portion of Binyamin, so there it says, that the boundary turned, and then even going downward. However, regarding the portion of Binyamin, which is, in the northern part of the portion of Yehuda, which, therefore, again, the southern part of Binyamin is the northern part of Yehuda, it's just, however, the portion of Binyamin does not go, as Yehuda does, all the way from the east, all the way to the sea, to the west. Rather, only he shared with Yehuda till Yerushalayim. And then, a little bit more, to the mountain that's by Gei Ben Hinnom until Kiryas Yearim, and then it didn't go anymore. But again, regarding the portion of by Yehuda and Binyamin, it only says about going up. Because even though it says that Betar, that it turned, that's not going up or going down. So it comes out that the top of the mountain of Gei Ben Hinnom, which is the highest from everything, even higher than Yerushalayim, because from Yerushalayim to there it says going up, and these are all in the portions of Yehuda and Binyamin. So Amri, they said, Shema Minah, Hachum Makaymai. Obviously, this is the place, because where's the place that it's always going up, going up, going up, and afterwards, it goes down. But this point, they met right by Yerushalayim, right by the place of the Makom HaMikdash. So Sava LeMivnaya Be'ein Eitim Dimadli. So they thought, okay, let's build it in Ein Eitim, which Rashi says it appears to him that it's what's called the spring of Mei Naftayach, which it says over there after the elevation of the mountain, which is by the face of Gei Ben Hinnom, where it doesn't say any Yerida, any going down by that point. Sounds like it's the highest point. So Ami, they said, no, Nesati Be'Kal, let us lower it a little bit and build it in Yerushalayim, which is a little bit lower than this mountain of Gei Ben Hinnom. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Devarim, Uben Kesef V'Shachin, when it talks about the tribe of Binyamin, which refers to the divine presence of the Beis HaMikdash residing in this portion, it says, between his shoulders is a rest. It doesn't say on the head. Yeah, the highest is the head. Between the shoulders is above everything else, but it's still not the highest, it's still a little bit lower, and therefore they decided to build it in Yerushalayim and not in the mountain of Gei Ben Hinnom. Or if you want, you could say that the reason why they didn't build it on Ein Etim is because Gemiri, the tradition is, the Sanhedrin Bechelke de Yehuda, that the Sanhedrin, the high court of the teaching of the Jewish people, Torah, is in the portion of Yehuda. Like the Pasuk says in Bereshit Memtes, by the Baracha that Yaakov gave to Yehuda, was, Mechaikik Mibein Raglav, there should never be removed the lawgiver from between the feet of Yehuda. Now, the Shechinah Bechelke de Binyamin, and the Divine Presence, like we said, from Abein Kesef Vefshachin, has to be in the portion of Binyamin. Now, if we would elevate it a little bit higher to that highest point, mispalig tuva, then there's going to be a distance that's going to be great between the portion of Binyamin, meaning of the Beis HaMikdash, and the portion of Yehuda, more than just the measurement of Har HaBayis. And the thing is that we want to make as close as possible the Lishkas HaGazas, with the chamber of hewn stone where the Sanhedrin was, to the Azara. And because it says Vekam Tavalisa Lamakamahu, when it talks about going to the Sanhedrin, it says to that place. So it has to be in the portion of Yehuda, but it has to be also on the highest place, which is by the Beis HaMikdash. So Mutav Dinesanti Beipurti, better let us make it a little bit lower down. Kedichsev Uvengesev Shachan, like we see in the Pasuk, that it could be a little bit lower. Not like the previous interpretation that was basing it on the Pasuk. No, we want to make it a little bit lower down because then it's closer to the portion of Yehuda. So you could have right by Yehuda, which is the Sanhedrin, you could have right next to the Makam HaMikdash. And as we see in the Pasuk, that it doesn't have to be the highest place. It could even be just between the shoulders. Now, says the Gemara, Valdava Zed, was regarding this idea that David discovered the place of the Mikdash, that Niskani Daig HaDaimi B'David, that one of the enemies of David, Daig HaDaimi, that's what he was jealous about David HaMelech. Because I've said, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ki kinas beis chachalasni, because the jealousy of your house, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, consume me, said Daig HaDami, to go ahead and take revenge against David. Uksiv, like it says the Pasuk in Tehillim, Zachar Hashem leDavid as kala noisa. Hashem should remember to David all his affliction, that he afflicted himself to toil and to know, Asher nishba laHashem begimim, that he swore to Hashem, im ova b'oil beisi, that David says, if I'm going to come into the tent of my house, I'm not going to come into my own palace. Im etin shinis la'enai la'afapai tnum, if I'm going to put sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids, ad emtza makam la'Hashem agam, until David says I'm going to find the place of Hashem, where is the Beis HaMikdash that we can build a resting place for Hashem? Hini shemanu be'efrasa, here we heard it in Efrasa. Mitzanu b'steyar, we found it in the fields of the forest. What does that mean? It's alluding to how they've discovered the Makam HaMikdash. Be'efrasa ze Yeshua de ka'asi me'efraim. This refers to Yeshua, who they found it in Sefer Yeshua, who Yeshua comes from Shevet Ephraim. Mitzanu b'sadiyar, we found it in the field of the forest. Ze Binyamin, that refers to Binyamin, that they discovered that it was in the portion of Binyamin. The Chassid, like the Pasuk says, Binyamin ze'ev yitrav. Binyamin is alluded to as a wolf that tears, which is generally in the field of the forest. So that's alluding to the fact how they discovered from Sefer Yeshua to being Chelek Binyamin, that David HaMelech put in all that effort to find out where it was, which regarding the Hagadami was jealous, and therefore he went out after David.